this concept right here. Making your life a blessing. Jesus, in the book of Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13, said that we are the salt of the earth. But he said if the salt has lost its savor, what's it good for? It's good for nothing, but to be thrown out, be trodden out on the foot of men. He said that you're the light of the world. You're like a city that's set upon a hill that cannot be hid. He said nobody lights a candle and puts it under a bushel basket, but rather he puts it on a candlestick so that everybody in the room may be illuminated by it. He concludes that idea in verse 16 by saying, let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Jesus said that we are salt and light. He's chosen us, ladies and gentlemen, to make a difference in the lives of those who live around about us. In the parable in Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46, one of the statements that Jesus makes, he says, for I was hungry and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came into me. You can't read that without understanding that I need to be involved in the lives of those around about me. But the question that we need to ask ourselves here this morning is how? How do I involve myself in other people's lives in a good way? Well, where should we look? Well, I've asked you to open up to John chapter 17. And I believe that we can find an answer to that here this morning, of how it is that each and every one of us can have and ought. Matter of fact, God expects us to have an impact upon all those that we come in contact with on a daily basis. And it's found here in this good prayer that the Lord here prays in John chapter 17, and it encapsulates what it is we need to do for other people. Let's look at verse 6 beginning. Jesus there says, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them to me, and they have kept thy word. The first thing that I want you to understand is that we need to make God known to those around about us. Do we do that? I mean, is God known to those that we come in contact with by the way that we live, by the way that we interact, the way we speak with them? Have you ever explained his nature? Have you ever explained his will? Have you ever explained, Paul, or to somebody you've come in contact, what God has done for you? Has people been able to tell by the way that you interact, by the way that you work at work or at school, or how it is that you handle important situations? Can they see God in your life? How about when folks come into your home? Is God made known unto the people there by the way you decorate your home? Do they see how we entertain and how we are entertained? Do they see God when we sit down for a meal? You ever heard folks talk about being uncomfortable or not praying when they go out, say maybe to a restaurant and pray? Do you do that? Do your children instinctively know that you're going to pray? Do you think people notice that? We celebrated Emma's birthday up at, she's not here this morning, she's not feeling good, the Spaghetti Factory, I think it was. Oh, Cheesepeck Factory or Spaghetti Factory, one of those factories. And it was up at Keystone, if that helps anybody with what name I'm looking for. Cheesecake. We had cheesecake for dessert. That makes sense. I went to the restroom because I had a chocolate cheesecake. And so that... So I excused myself, and when I was there, a lady stopped me, and she said, hey, I just want you to know I really appreciate that. And I said, I'm sorry, I don't know what you're talking about. She said, well, I just want you to know I really appreciate that. And I said, well, okay, you're welcome. I thought she had the wrong guy. I had no idea what she was talking about. But what she said was, she said, your family was all sitting around waiting for you, and when you sat down, they all instinctively bowed their heads as we said our prayer. Now, who would have thought someone was watching? People see things like that. They recognize and they acknowledge things like that. And the question is, can people see God by how it is that we live our life, just by rote, just by the very nature? Can they see God and where he places himself or where we place him in our lives? In 1 John 2 and verse 6, John there says, if any man says he abides in him, he should live as he lived. Can I pray like Jesus here prayed? Dear God, they know you because they know me. I want you to understand that we need to make our life a blessing to those that we come in contact with. And one of the ways we can do that is by making God known to them. The second thing, ladies and gentlemen, we can do is we can treat other folks like a gift. Notice again, verse 2 of John 17. Jesus says, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given unto him. Verse 9. And I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Listen how Jesus thinks about his apostles. He said, they are gifts that you have given me. And what we need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, we need to think about the folks that are in our lives. We need to think of them as a gift that God has given us. Gifts are important. Gifts are special to us. I can remember when Billy was really little, maybe it was when maybe even when we were moving up here, I don't recall now, but there was a little poster that was in his room, and it got torn, and he was really upset about that, and it was just a silly poster. I mean, it wasn't anything that couldn't have been replaced or anything like that. Then I asked him about that, and he said, Tommy gave me that. And you see, it really wasn't anything in regards to what the poster showed. It wasn't that the poster was made out of anything spectacular. It wasn't the fact that the poster was very valuable to the outside world. It was because it was a gift. And because it was a gift, it was special and it meant something to him. And so it's got to be, ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to folks that we come in contact with, they've got to be thought of as a gift. How is it that we treat our children? Do our children understand and know that they are a gift from God? In Psalms 127 and verse 3 and verse 4, I'm told that, lo, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. They are a gift of God. Do we treat them that way? Our brethren, do we treat them as gifts? Paul in Philippians 1 and verse 3 said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Paul says, I am thankful for those of you at Philippi, because God has given you into my life. You think about, ladies and gentlemen, all the people that have come into your life, interacted with you, no matter how that interaction has went. They've made you to be the person that you are. They've made your life the way that it is. I think about those who've come into my life and done me good. I think about those who've come into my life and have done me harm. I am the product of all that. Joseph was the product of the treatment by his brothers. He was a product of the treatment of Potiphar's wife, of the jailers. He was a product of the butler and the baker who forgot him. They were gifts. They were gifts in our life, Tony, to allow us to be molded, to be changed, to be the type of people that God would have us to be. How is it, ladies and gentlemen, that I can be a blessing to other people? I can treat everybody like a gift. Notice verse 7. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. Everything that we have, ladies and gentlemen, we need to teach them as they truly are, and that is that they are a gift from God, and we are a steward of those gifts. They need to know, and everyone around us needs to know, that these things that I have has been given unto me. It's not about me. It's about God. Many become arrogant over the things that they have or the talents they possess. And why would we do such? In John chapter 1 and verse 17, James 1 and verse 17, for whoso maketh thee different from another, and what hast thou that has not been given to you? Now, if it's not been given unto you, or I should say, if it's not been received, why do you glory in it as if you did not receive it? That's actually 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. James 1, 17 says, every good and perfect gift cometh from the Father above. All the things that we have that are good in our life has a gift. It has been given to us by God. We are merely stewards over that very thing. And Paul asks us the very question, why is it that you become arrogant over these things? There's nothing that you possess, whether it is a talent or an opportunity or whether it's wealth or whether it's power, that has not been given unto you Don't you recall what Jesus said to Pilate when Pilate said, "Do you not understand that I have authority over you?" Remember what Jesus said? "You would have no authority over me unless it was given." We are simply stewards of the things that we possess, no matter where it is that we have or whatever it is that we have. I need to understand that it is simply on loan. The people that we have in our lives are just on loan. You see your children that way? They're just on loan for us for a little bit of time, for us to mold and then turn loose. All the things that we have that God has given us, we must be the proper stewards of them in our lives. And by doing that, ladies and gentlemen, I can be a blessing to those around about me. Notice verse 8. "For I have given them unto them, I have given unto them the words which thou hast given me. They have received them and have known surely that I have come out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me." We need to understand that we need to give God's word to those around about us. We teach our children science and math and English, and the question is, do we teach them God's word and how to rightly divide it? To be a blessing in the lives of those around about us, we must be able to provide them the word of God. And to be able to do that, we must know it. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Again in Ephesians 6 and verse 4, "Fathers, train up your children." Do not provoke your children to wrath, but raise them up in the nurture and the admonition, or that is the discipline of the Lord. In 1 Peter 4 and verse 11, "If any man speak, let him speak the utterances of God." When I speak to other people, ladies and gentlemen, do I speak into them the words of God? You know, you don't have to stand up like a preacher to preach. There have been times, my father is just the master of this, as I think back upon my life, where we would just be talking about something. And he would have an answer. And the answer would inevitably, Monsanto, come from the Word of God. And that would be sprinkled in. And he would say something like, well, you know, it's like Peter said in 2 Peter 1, verse 3. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. You know? Now, he didn't preach a sermon. Boy, but did he not impart the Word of God? Well, it's just like Deuteronomy 6:24, Brian. Oh, whatever these laws and statutes I've given you this day, they're for your good always. But you know what? It's just like the wise man says. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Ecclesiastes 12:13. I don't have to come up with a lesson, ladies and gentlemen, to go preach and teach our children or my friends or my family or my co-workers. I can just exude the words of God around about them. Do we ever sit down and talk about those things? We give access on how to, or advice, I should say, how to play sports, how to make more money. Do we give folks advice from the Word of God? Do you know what the Bible says about that? You know what I learned at Bible study in regards to those things? Jesus said, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, hath that which judgeth him. The words that I have spoken will judge you the last day." Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we can share these things with our neighbors, and we can share these things with our friends. We can share them by inviting them to come here. Tell them about your brethren. Tell them about the brethren at Traders Point. Tell them, listen, I got to tell you, we had to come to our church. You can't already find a seat. We're going to have to get there early. You got to come to our Bible classes. You wouldn't believe our Bible class teachers. Tell them about the elders. Tell them about how the elders are leading. Tell them about how many deacons we have in the serving. Invite them to come so that the words of God might be shared. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we're called upon to be a blessing to those around about us. And we can be a blessing by giving them the word of God. And finally, notice verse 9. Jesus says, "I pray for them. I pray not for just the world," or not for the world, I should say, "but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine." We need to pray for those around about us. Paul said in Colossians 1 and verse 3, "Praying fervently for you without ceasing, remembering you in every prayer." When was the last time, ladies and gentlemen, you prayed for somebody else? Paul said, "With all pray for us, Colossians 4 and verse 3. When was the last time you prayed for your wife? That your wife might be a good wife. That she might do her work quietly and diligently and bring calm to the home. That she might be a blessing for you and your family. When was the last time you prayed for your husband? That he might lead and be sound in the word. That he might work diligently. When was the last time you prayed for your children? That they might grow in faith and love and trust for God. That they might do well in school. That they might make good decisions. That they might keep themselves from evil men and evil women. When was the last time you prayed for the eldership? When was the last time you prayed for me? When was the last time you prayed for the person before you, behind you, the person you're sitting beside? Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we're called upon to be a blessing. And we must be a blessing in other people's worlds by taking their name before the throne of God, the God that can change the course of human events in other people's lives that may be hurting, who may need that encouragement, who may need that edification. Ladies and gentlemen, the Word of God, and I call upon you here this morning to be a blessing in the people's lives that you're around about. And you can do that by making God known, by how you live and the decisions you make, by treating other people like a gift, by showing people that you understand I'm a steward of the things that I have. They're not mine. They're only loaned. And I'm going to work diligently with them. Give God's word to those around about. And ladies and gentlemen, with all fervency, pray for other people. You've listened well this morning. I appreciate that very much. We're about to stand to sing a song of invitation to encourage you this morning. Maybe there's one in our audience who's not been obedient to the words of our Lord when he said, go into the world and preach this good news. He that believes it and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be condemned. There are 9 acts of conversion in the book of Acts, all 9, having the word of God sprinkled into their hearts. They believed it, convicted them of their sin. They wished to repent. The eunuch in Acts 8 said, I believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Jesus said, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father which is in heaven. And they were all baptized, immersed in water, to have their sins washed away. You can do that this morning, and we plead with you to do it. Maybe you've done that in the past, but you've sinned, and you need to come forward confessing that, maybe repenting of that. Maybe you just need the prayers of the congregation. We're here, ladies and gentlemen, ready, willing, and with God's power, able to help you in any way from a spiritual standpoint. We give the Lord's invitation to you here this morning. We're going to sing a song to encourage you. So if you're subject to me in any way, come forward now as we stand, as we sing.